Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Good morning, Dr. Bryce Edwards from Victoria University. How's it going?
Not so bad. It's pretty horrible weather down here, Johnny, though. Cold and huge gusts of wind.
Have you had any snow on the hills around Wellington this
week? I don't think so. We don't really often get snow, but it's just lots of wind.
Yeah, just a classic breeze, the Wellington breeze. Now, the government has come out and announced a new infrastructure, or a new national infrastructure agency, a.k.a. the NIA, and a 30-year national infrastructure plan. What, Bryce, what are the primary objectives behind the establishment of the National Infrastructure Agency, and how does it aim to address New Zealand's infrastructure challenges?
Yeah, well, I mean, infrastructure, the word sounds pretty boring, but, you know, it kind of has a pretty big deal. We've got a nation-building summit on at the moment in Auckland where all the infrastructure companies are getting together with the government and other people with an interest in this, and that's why this news has come out. But I mean, this is about the roads, the bridges, the public transport, hospitals, schools, and it all relates to, you know, some big issues like climate change and, you know, how we cope with that, and, you know, kind of, and all our water systems, our sewerage, our drinking water, storm water. So it's, you know, this is stuff that does actually have a big impact, because it's generally acknowledged that New Zealand's infrastructures are not in a good state.
Yes.
Successive governments have kind of neglected it, and there's been trouble on, you know, agreeing what, you know, what do we need. And so the government's come up with this new agency, which is going to supposed to lead on all this and try and bring together all the different partners, maybe try and get some of the political parties getting some bipartisan agreement on these things, and work with the private sector to, you know, try and find who can build these things.
The private sector side of things, there's talk of private sector investment in infrastructure.
Yeah.
I mean, these are all Crown projects. How are private sector investors set to gain from investing in, you know, like infrastructure like bridges and sewerage? And
that sounds
a bit strange, you know?
Well, I mean, whenever governments build infrastructure, they do generally use the private sector.
Yes, like, I know. Yeah, I get that they use it, but the suggestion of investment sounds...
Exactly. No, you're absolutely right to ask this, because it's moving on into a whole new area where the state might actually put a lot of these businesses in charge of what they do and might own a lot of these things. And so it's kind of a form of privatisation, if you like.
Yes.
So, you know, businesses might even own, you know, the hospital buildings that they build or the bridges that they build, and there might be more tolls, and the, you know, the government might actually not own these things but essentially lease them or make payments to the private sector. So, I mean, I guess from a right-wing point of view, you know, it's, you know, business is more efficient. It means the government doesn't have to take on so much debt. From a left-wing point of view, you know, this is just a recipe for corruption. It's a way that, you know, the wealthy are going to be able to, you know, get a lot of money from the taxpayers, and we're going to end up in this situation where everything's user pays, and, you know, the public get ripped off. So, you know, this is very political, even though it sometimes sounds a bit dry and dumb.
Yes, I mean, well, just in summary, what do you think some of the potential challenges or criticisms will be of this new National Infrastructure Agency in its initial phase?
Well, the first one is just going to be about whether we can get some bipartisan sort of agreement on the way forward. And so, you know, there's sort of this idea that National want roads, Labor want bridges, the Greens want cycleways, and, you know, there's some truth in that, but can they come together and actually agree on some things so that whenever governments change, we don't have, you know, projects cancelled and, you know, new ones starting and, you know, dairy contracts cancelled and things like that. But yeah, further on, it's going to be those big debates about, well, how do we afford these things and how much do we, you know, just say business can do this, let's pay them to do it.
Okay, now moving on to MP Casey Costello, an Associate Minister of Health in the current government. There's been obviously some changes to tobacco taxes and law in Aotearoa. Where do we start with this one, Bryce?
Yes, you're right. Some big changes happened as soon as the new government came into power. They rolled back a lot of the reforms of the last Labor government, especially in terms of smoke-free legislation. They very quietly reduced some of the taxes on tobacco products, the heated tobacco products, which are a bit like vapes. They took 50% off the taxes on those. And people have sort of been wondering, well, where did this come from? Because we didn't really know about this before the election. Who's driving this? And so there's been a lot more, I guess, scrutiny of the minister in charge of this, Casey Costello. So she's a New Zealand First MP, and she's gone straight into cabinet after being elected to parliament last year. And now she's got an interesting background. She used to be a detective. She's used to be the chair of the Taxpayers Union.
And also Hobson's Pledge, so two right-wing lobby groups.
Yes. Yeah. And so the Taxpayers Union in particular have been funded by tobacco in the past.
Ah, okay. All right. Okay.
New Zealand First, the party, we don't really know their connection with tobacco, but certainly two of their senior staffers have now gone off to work for Philip Morris.
Yes.
And they still hang out, it seems, with New Zealand First quite a bit. So there's been a bit of scrutiny about whether what the government's been implementing are just what the tobacco companies want. And so Guy Nespinner from RNZ has sort of found some documents that, you know, kind of point to this. And he's been making official information requests from Casey Costello's office and not really getting much joy. And there's a bit of a story about how Costello has really tried to suppress some of the information and has been quite disingenuous about it. She's been told off now by the Ombudsman's office for not supplying information that she should have, that should be in the public domain. But yeah, it all looks quite dodgy on her part.
Okay.
And I think the opposition now are really, they've got their sights on her, and she seems like she is quite loose sometimes with how she operates.
Yes.
So whether she survives this whole term in government, I think is a good, going to be interesting thing to watch.
Just in regards to Casey Costello, and in light of this leaked Philip Morris strategy document, and the subsequent regulatory changes in Aotearoa, what does this suggest about the effectiveness of current lobbying regulations?
Oh, very loose, and we don't really have any. I think this is a good case study showing how lobbyists have very easy access to
politicians.
And it's not transparent. The public don't have any way of trying to track this. And it does seem that where there's smoke, there's fire, so to speak, in this regard, that the lobbyists have got their way. And unlike in other countries, just no rules around this.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling that someone who has past professional relationships with, I guess, people that are pretty close to the tobacco industry has ended up as an Associate Minister of Health in New Zealand.
That's crazy. And those relationships still continuing. It's just not very transparent.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, and the other big story of the week, we've had a couple of changes to the Fast Track Approvals Bill. The Fast Track Approvals Bill has faced significant opposition. What are the main criticisms being levelled against this bill by environmental groups and community groups at the moment, and how do you see the changes that they've made? Are they minor or significant?
They're fairly minor in my view. Look, you know, just remembering what this is about, the Fast Track Approvals Bill is this big piece of legislation that the government's brought in to try and speed up, basically infrastructure. Things getting built, they say, look, you know, things are too slow to get, there's too much red tape, and this is going to be a way of fast-tracking things that are really important for the country. Critics say, well, it's going to be the private sector that kind of is able to bypass proper sort of scrutiny, proper sort of processes, and it's going to be a kind of recipe for corruption whereby those that make political donations to ministers and parties will kind of get what they want. And so, I mean, it is quite a radical piece of legislation. One of the criticisms has been that in this new law, which, you know, hasn't actually passed yet, it's going to come in the next few months, it's going to be ministers that have the final say on whether businesses can, you know, carry out these big developments, whereas at the moment it's normally experts that are appointed to, you know, look through these proposals. And so in the weekend we had Chris Bishop, who's the Infrastructure Minister, he announced that they're going to make some modifications to this, and that it will now be not the ministers that make the final decision, but it will be their appointed officials.
Appointed officials. Probably made sense.
Indeed. So, yeah. Look, I think it does improve it, and it will take the sting out of a lot of the complaints from environmentalists and transparency advocates. But it's still the same bill. It's still essentially the same mechanism. So we'll see whether the public's won over by this or not.
I mean, and just on the public side of things, in what ways could the bill limit public participation and community input in the development process?
Oh, well, currently, if someone wants to, you know, build a massive new suburb or, build something significant or carry out start a new mine, they need to go through quite a rigorous process, and the community can have be consulted and can come and make submissions on it and make objections and say why they do or don't approve of this new mine or road or whatever. This is essentially cutting out all of that and just saying, no, a group of experts appointed by the government will decide, and there's no real room for public consultation.
Yes.
So it's quite radical in that regard.
Yeah.
And if you believe in the public being involved in these things, it's a pretty bad thing.
Oh.
But if you want to see things sped up, and you want to see just, you know, let's get on with things, then yeah, it's a good way to, you know, get development going.
Okay, I feel like we kind of had two corruption pieces here with the tobacco and, you know, like the potential for corruption under the Fast Track Approvals Bill, you know, just potentially opening the door to lobbying.
Yeah.
Just once again, what safeguards, if any, are in place to prevent such corruption and lobbying problems?
The media, people like you and I and your listeners, kind of putting some pressure on the political process, and, you know, ultimately, you know, how we vote and what the media does to scrutinise these things does make a difference. But we do have some other rules, like about, you know, donations have to be declared. We have the opposition and the parliament that, you know, scrutinises all these things. So to some extent, you know, these things work, but it does feel like things are getting a bit more murky and a bit more hard to scrutinise and resist.
Yes, someone has just text through saying, don't forget Christopher Luxon's sister-in-law works for Philip Morris as well.
Oh, yes.
For many, many years. Oh, man.
That's right. So there's all sorts of linkages.
Oh,
I mean, Chris Bishop Chris Bishop himself used to be a lobbyist for tobacco. You know, The links here, there's lots of them.
Oh, my God, what a web. Okay. I shouldn't laugh. Thank you very much, Dr. Bryce Edwards from Victoria University. A rather interesting edition of Political Commentary. Cheers, mate.
Cheers, Johnny.
You just heard a bit of Political Commentary.